Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not just seven times, but 77 times.
Hello and welcome to the show. Colourful conversations with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark. This week we discuss Trump Apology Syndrome. Well, I make no apology for the fact that Donald Trump is a man who seems to struggle to give an apology. Now, we've seen in the media this week, recently, that he has a certain way about him. Now, with me today, Clergyman Pete is with me to try and analyse what do we mean about giving an apology? What is the best way to do it? Yeah. What is the best way not to do it? Clergyman Pete, when I look at Donald Trump, I sort of think to myself, he is a person who seems to be content with his lot. When he makes a mistake, I'm not entirely sure whether he's ever going to admit it. Can you give your view on perhaps the best way of delivering an apology?
Yeah. Well, let's learn from the great Donald Trump. I think the best way is to do it the opposite that Donald Trump does it. I think if listeners are on YouTube or have access to YouTube, you could look up Good News This Morning and see the YouTube video I did about the apology Trump gave to Piers Morgan. But in doing that, he did the wrong way. What you need to do is first assess whether the accusation against you is true, and then when you apologize, admit to the truth of it so that the apology is then true, and just be open, frank, and apologize, then move on. That's the way to do it. If it's possible, do it in person and look them in the eye, but however you do it briefly and concentrate on apologizing for the offense, then move on. Don't, in other words, do two things, one of which Donald Trump did wrong on that occasion, and that don't sort of half apologize. That doesn't do anyone any good. That actually makes it worse, makes the offense worse, really, in my opinion. Although people can, if they really want the apology, as I think in this case, have just grasped at the half apology. And so, you know, people want, you know, people who didn't want to be mad at him grasp at the half apology. I guess there were some people who were still going to be angry at Donald Trump, whatever he does. And the other thing to do is not make it about you. You know, yes, I'm really sorry because I've had a bad time recently and woe is me and I'm apologising. I'm so sorry. And making you the victim makes it also not an apology. So the simple thing I'm saying is this. When you're doing an apology, when you're saying sorry for something, just do it. Just do it.
Well, look, of course, he has a style about him, and I know that not everyone is a great supporter. In fact, actually, strange enough, he does have a lot of supporters. Now, I want to sort of bring something out around the manner in which Donald Trump operates, because actually, the way that he behaves is very similar to perhaps a way we see other politicians behave when perhaps something's gone wrong. They've done something wrong. It can also happen in business as well. And yet, as you've sort of alluded to, they fail to get to the point, which is, look, acknowledge the problem, recognize where it went wrong, issue an apology, and move on. People would respect you a lot more. Now, I think, you know, on the Mark and Pete show, we like to sort of bring up these new terms, etc. But I think we've got something here, which is essentially Trumpology.
Yes.
This is this idea that you issue an apology, but you haven't really won. And here's an example, just again in manifested in this in the best way possible, which is just a little poem. Imagine the Donald Trump. I think this sums you up. So Donald Trumpology. I wish to issue an apology for misusing social technology by means of a methodology to enforce my ideology. Despite my mythology, along with all the mythology, perhaps it's epistemology, and my apology is just garbology. Yes. Well, there you go, you see. Yes, it's all just a study of social waste, social nonsense, complete garbage.
Yes.
Yes, I think you've done it. Well done. Congratulations. we have something here now that if you do wish to issue an apology, but you don't, it's a Trumpology. That's what we want to put that into the English dictionary somewhere now. I think we've got it. And I think, Donald, I think you epitomize that form of apology, that social interaction. It just doesn't work.
Yes, I'm glad you addressed it straight to Donald, because, of course, he does listen. He's a big fan of the show. But, I think...
And we don't apologize for it.
Can we get... I just want to get the definition straight. So a Trumpology is like an apology, except that it isn't. Correct?
That's right.
Yes, okay, I've got it now, that makes perfect sense. Yes, so...
But there is something else. I do want to mention about that there's been a lot of other things in the world today where perhaps, and it's a bit more serious perhaps, and I'm going to come on to some things where perhaps an apology should have been raised right from the start. I'm going to mention about Larry Nassar. This has been in the news. Now, of course, he was the medical doctor who was assigned to the USA gymnastics team. And as has been noted, he originally failed to apologize for some of his sexual abuse of very young ladies, young girls, who perhaps really very innocent, unfortunately, were victims of his evil ways. He had eventually issued an apology, although I must admit it was had a bit of a Trumpologyism, didn't seem with full conviction.
Yeah.
What is it about people who just simply refuse to see that human effect that they're having, where they've done something quite sinister? And this man is, just for again for clarity, he's been given 175 years prison sentence. Now, I think it's reasonable to say he won't be leaving prison, but that's not enough, is it? Because those people who are the victims probably are not convinced that he's ever really sorry.
No, I think in this particular case, Larry Nassar, it seems to me that he has a particular sort of mind that is not as uncommon as we like to think. I think he's a psychopath. I think that he's not feeling empathy, which is what you were describing there. He doesn't feel the empathy, so he doesn't see how to apologize. He doesn't understand the necessity for it. He isn't able to feel or even imagine their feeling. So when he issued his apology, which I guess he had to do, maybe it was even written for him by his legal team, I don't know, but he was shown to be false by the judge reading out comments that he had made during the trial. The comments were known by the judge because he was making complaints about the trial, including when he complained that the whole thing was taking too long, and specifically that he felt that the victims of his abuse were going on too long. He complained about the length of the survivors' testimony, survivors being the survivors of his abuse, and the whole courtroom gasped when the judge read out this particular line. This is his quote. He says, "Hell hath no fury like women scorned."
Yeah.
So he was talking about them getting at him, making himself the victim. He's got no empathy at all. So he is a part of an unusual set of people, psychopaths who can't feel that. And it's a real disability. But of course, the interesting thing about this is, as the study has gone on and we get to understand more about psychopaths, is psychopaths, even though they can't feel the empathy, are able, if they're even moderately intelligent, able to understand it. So he would understand that it was wrong, even though he didn't feel it was wrong. He would understand that an apology was needed, even though he didn't feel it. So there is no excuse, and I think the sentencing seems to me to be correct. He should not have done what he did. He needed to apologize, and as you were pointing out, the apology isn't enough. He also needs to take that punishment. Now, an apology doesn't remove the punishment. The apology should be done because it's right, not because you're going to get off.
No, indeed. Well, I want to bring up another case here. It's completely different, I think this is somebody who does recognise that they've done wrong.
Yeah.
Now, in the United Kingdom, we have lots of elections, and we also have what's called local elections. This is for local councils. Now, there is a recent incident where a Cornwall council candidate, not easy to say, but a Cornwall council candidate, was sorry for a Nazi uniform post. Now, what he had done foolishly that he has issued an apology for his totally inappropriate comments on pictures of Nazi uniforms online. Now, Richard Cunningham, who is the age of 21, is contesting the Falmouth seat, not Falmouth, although you...
Not Falmouth. Oh, yes, got it, yes, yeah.
Posted the same picture twice on Facebook. Now, what he actually did was is that he recognised that in the past... He posted, I think it was around 2014, the message, political correctness be damned, this made me chuckle way too much. This is this picture of a Nazi man in a uniform, and it says, I wear your granddad's clothes. Inappropriate. And what he now recognizes, this is where the apology comes in. It says, Mr. Cunningham said, I want to apologize for sharing these posts. I was 19 years old at the time, but I realized they were totally inappropriate. I'm now older and wiser and standing for election to serve my community. Well, of course, the Conservative Party headquarters had no comment available. But I do wonder, I mean... My point here is, first of all, I think we should apologize for everyone who would have been offended by his actions, completely inappropriate. But I just wonder, is he really serious, issuing an apology and yet still wanting to stand and act as a credible candidate? Something's flawed here, because to your point, just issuing an apology is not enough.
No.
And I think this is where it becomes a little bit of a Trumpologyism. The term. So just to, you know, as you're building out the dictionary, if you just make notes as we're going along. A Trumpism, a Trumpologyism. This is a classic example where Mr. Cunningham really should have accepted that he was wrong. Yes, issue an apology and simply withdrew his candidacy. To me... would have been more sensible. The fact that he's still going to continue to stand isn't enough. It just almost makes it sort of a shallow apology. What is he doing?
Yes, I mean, what he should have done, this is what I was trying to get to right at the start of this episode, was if you do something like that, so you do something that's offensive, you've not hurt anyone other than their feelings, but still, it's the sort of thing you should apologize for. You should do it straight away. Get it done. He should have issued an apology the next day, not when he was just about to go to an election for whatever position it is. I'm not sure what he's going for, but it's too late. It's the timing of this that's a problem. You do it. Get your apologies in quick as soon as you're aware. Now, the problem is, of course, if he really wasn't aware that was offensive beforehand, then if you need that pointed out to you, I'm not going to vote for you. So it shows a certain attitude. That's why it's a problem for being elected to public office. It's not the doing of it. It's, you do it, you're a bit mad, you thought that it was funny, but you should apologize there and then, not just when it's convenient for you.
No. And I'm going to give you another one here. Now, this is one where I think it's quite genuine. And this is an unfortunate situation. I can imagine why it caused much stress. But this is something that happened in England. And it says, this is the Quarriers, sorry for removing headstones at children's homes. So what happened here was a charity has apologized for any distress caused over the removal of headstones from a cemetery at a former children's home. Now, it was thought around 80 headstones were removed from the cemetery at the Quarriers home, and this is in Renfrewshire, and this was sometime in the 1960s that this was put in place, and the charity said it had plans to have them reinstated. Now I can imagine that probably with genuine intent, that they just thought, well, you know, the cemetery in Bridge and Weir, which dates back to I think the late 1800s, is now going to be given a commemorative plaque. But I mean, there are genuine situations where somebody might just make a mistake, but not always realize that people might take offense. But what they have done is try to address the situation with genuine attempt. And I think that this is good, because the people who are the spokespersons from the charity have said, we understand this is a sensitive issue and apologize for any distress this has caused to former residents or their families. So there, I think that there is a point where it's clearly, it's got to hit the headlines, it's caused some stress, but I don't think it was there with maliciousness. I don't think that they had done it with it with any kind of malice aforethought. Yeah. So I think here it's about how you go about doing this. And I suppose I'm sure that you must have many people in your community and in your parish who come to you and genuinely want to apologize for something they've done. I mean,
yeah, well,
do they go about it? How do you advise them?
I guess the thing is that saying sorry is, in certain situations, isn't difficult. And the main thing, this is what I've advised people and what I've said in this show, is doing it quickly is important. You'll notice how there are two things that make an apology easy. When it's not very much that you've done wrong, you know, sorry, I spilt the salt or whatever. But also, if you do it quickly, so it happens, you say, I'm sorry. You spill the salt, sorry. You trip into someone, sorry. You kill their entire family. Sorry. If it's something really serious, then you say, I'm sorry, and you really apologize as soon as possible. I mean, that makes it easier. So getting the apology in straight away, before the fear of the apology process sets in, that's important to do. And the second thing is, of course, simply, though I say to them, to admit the truth, otherwise it's not an apology. If you're not admitting any wrong, so the temptation is to put into an apology excuses.
Yes.
As soon as you do that, you're not really apologizing. You must take full responsibility and apologize, or you're not doing it. You're not really apologizing. I mean, you may say, well, I didn't do anything wrong. What I'm doing is explaining why, in fact, I've done nothing wrong. But that's not an apology. That's it. But you'd be surprised how, maybe, from the tenor of your question, you appear to be under the misapprehension that people are just itching to apologize for things. That's not true at all. Most people prefer not to. The advice that I give is usually unsolicited. It's about time you apologize. That along those sort of lines. And if people did it more often, more fulsomely, and more immediately, then everyone, I was going to say, the world would be a better place. That's true. But at least people would get along better. You would remove a hurdle.
As we come to the end of this show, I mean, I think we've established that, you know, if you're guilty of a Trumpologyism, then that's obviously not good. Think about it very carefully. One I'd like to end on is actually one that is, again, another point of intent, and this is actually, ironically, with the Pope himself. Now, as we saw, the Pope Francis apologized recently for his remarks that he made last week in Chile defending a bishop accused of covering up sexual abuse. Now, he realized that his words hurt many people, but he repeated his belief that the Chilean bishop, Juan Barros, was innocent. The pontiff was speaking to journalists, who were obviously there keen to get a little bit more, but the Pope himself said, I apologize to them if I hurt them without realizing, but it was a wound that I inflicted without meaning to, said the Pope. And, of course, he continued and concluded that it pains me very much, as he said. Well, this, I'm sure, does have more meaning. And I think that, you know, we can believe it and we can sort of understand that perhaps things are said in the heat of the moment. So, listeners, what do you think about issuing an apology? We make no apology for you. If you want to send us your thoughts, why not let us know? Go and log on to markandpete.com and let us know your thoughts. We certainly won't apologize for reading out your comments on the next show. So thanks for joining us this time, and we enjoy your company. So let's join us again for more colorful conversations with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark.
Sorry?
What?